Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
Welcome, everybody, to the WWE Podcast on this Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania review. And boy, oh boy, if it's ever more glaring that people aren't in the audience and reacting to the show, it is never more apparent than the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania that traditionally has one of the loudest, most raucous, fun crowds of the entire year, or as WWE would like to represent them as, non-traditional fans that just like to have fun and they cheer people they normally boo and boo people they normally cheer. I.e., apparently WWE doesn't believe that the fans that attend their biggest events of the year, their opinions don't matter. But we didn't get any of that this year. We, in fact, got an empty arena, as we've been dealing with now for several weeks, and it looks like that is going to continue. And I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but there has been a report that's come out that apparently Trump had met with ESPN and let them know that they likely won't be resuming an in a live crowd type of format until possibly August. Now, that is a painful, painful thought. And could SummerSlam be ruined as well? I guess we'll have to see. Of course, you don't really know what's going to happen with this. We have no idea. I mean, your guess is as good as mine, and all of the quote experts who have never dealt with a pandemic like this really have no idea either. So it's a wait and see type of approach, and we all hope and pray it is not August that we're still stuck in our homes and can't attend live events. And good Lord, I mean, people are already getting restless. It's been, well, for me, I've been home since St. Patrick's Day, so roughly 3 weeks that this has been going on. It feels like 3 months. This is, I mean, I guess we're all getting used to this new norm, but man, it's tough, and it's even tougher to digest in the wake of a Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania that never was, and the WrestleMania that never was in terms of a traditional live crowd that adds a soul to the product. That was absent this year, and if you guys want to hear my thoughts on WrestleMania, well, look no further than the past two episodes in which total content, over 5 hours of content of reviewing WrestleMania. I mean, my show was almost as long as WrestleMania was, and it was split into two parts, just as WrestleMania was. So if you're interested in my thoughts and my co-host's thoughts, I had a set of co-hosts on Sunday, and then a set of co-hosts last night, two different ones. So there were three of us total reviewing part one, and then a different set of three reviewing part two. So it was a blast. And the review I did last night that reviewed part two ended up in a very heated debate over the Firefly Funhouse. So I still stand by my opinions. I have nothing to change about how I felt about that. Just mind-boggling acid trip that we went on. And many of you might say, oh, well, you got to use your head. I mean, you need to think about it. Look, people don't watch movies, TV shows, and particularly professional wrestling to think too hard, right? I don't need to think too hard. I don't want to. I like to be rewarded for detail and for long story arcs, but I need stories and matches to make sense, and they're easy to follow, right? So if you want to hear my massive rant on that particular match, go back to last night's show. But this was the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, and we're going to get to that review in just a minute, but got to take the time to thank you guys for making this show what it is. And we had record downloads over the past few days. I think that has a very high chance of because of WrestleMania and the co-hosts that were on the show. So credit to everybody for the record downloads. And I continue to expect this show to grow as WWE continues to pump out new content. I'm appreciative of that because it keeps this show fresh and it keeps you guys engaged as well. And from what I see and understand, WWE is moving full steam ahead with their schedule as we got an advertisement for Money in the Bank. So as WWE and Vince will always say until his dying breath, the show must go on. And boy, there's no more extreme circumstances to put that theory and that that slogan to the test. So definitely controversial, certainly. And I know many people may say, why are they putting the wrestlers at risk and all that kind of stuff? But you know what? I'm appreciative of them being there. They're there on a voluntary basis. They're giving us new content to talk about every week. There are times I forget there are no fans in the building, but more often than not, I still look at this and go, oh man, it's just deathly quiet. Even if they could do some kind of just background music, right? Just a low tone background music to get rid of that silence that maybe is a glaring hole in the product. I don't care what kind of music, just some kind of rock music, but on a very, very low tone, just to get rid of that silence, right? I don't know, maybe just something in the performance center, right? Something. Maybe that's what is really hurting me in terms of the presentation is just dead silence. I mean, there's not a peep. There's not anything. There's nothing. It's just you can hear a breath. You can hear a squeak in the ring. Everything is just magnified. So just a thought, maybe some kind of background music that's not distracting, but enough to get rid of that death silence. So, but guys, thank you so much for listening. And I want to give a shout out to Tracy, who is back as a patron of the show on patreon.com and now gets to enjoy the entire library ad free. So if you want to join Tracy, you can do so for literally $1 a month at patreon.com/WWE podcast. And you get the entire library, over 300 shows right now for just $1 a month. And go ahead and download them, enjoy them, and you basically have weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months, of content if you even listen regularly. So check that out. So Tracy, thank you so much, and I really want to also encourage you guys to check that out if you don't like the ads. I know I get a lot of people complaining about the ads. I get it. I understand. I listen to podcasts and go, oh, another ad. But you know what I do? If I don't like the ad, there's that 30-second ahead skip button. I just do that little, thing with my thumb where I touch the screen and I go, oh, 30 seconds ahead, 30 seconds ahead. I'm done with the ads, right? If you don't want to listen to them, pretty simple, right? So if you don't like the ads, you can always do that. Or if you want to just totally streamline type of experience and you don't want to have to do that, maybe you fall asleep to me. I don't know. But whatever it is, you can check that out at patreon.com. So the other thing is the website. If you guys want to head there at wwepodcast.com, and more content will be coming there as well, as more blogs will be readily available to you on there, and more content. I'm going to be working on video as soon as my schedule lets up. And tomorrow I was going to do a wrestling nostalgia show, and I am still doing it, but it's going to be from the vault. I think I told you guys this yesterday. It's not going to be a new wrestling nostalgia. My voice needs a break. My brain needs a break. So I will be doing a quick intro at the beginning, but the majority of it will just be a from the vault type of show. And I'll pick a good one, but I need a break. And being a one-man show as far as the production end of it, not the co-hosts who do an awesome job and dedicate their time to this to show to make it a success, but the production end of it and the time it takes. People think you pop on a mic and you just start talking and, oh, anyone can do it. Podcasts are easy. Yeah, well, why don't you try doing one, 8 days a week and then post-producing it, making sure the sound is good, posting it up, putting it on your website, putting it on all the platforms, then marketing it on social media. And like, people don't sometimes understand that anyone can do a podcast. Well, yeah, anyone can, but that also separates the pretenders from the real people, the pretenders from the contenders. And this show's been on the air in one form or another for the last, good God, 6 years. So it's taken me a long time to get where I'm at. And those that think that it's easy to do a podcast are sadly mistaken. It's easy to sit in front of a mic and hit record. Sure. But boy, there is so much more to it. So if anyone's interested, though, I'd love to help you out if you're interested in starting your own show. just realize you're not going to make a ton of money overnight. It takes a long time if you're interested in making and building an audience and then finding a trusted sponsor and just so much to it. So anyway, off track. Let's get to the Monday Night Raw review, which I really thought that WWE was kind of just going through the motions at times through the show. I don't think we got a ton of progression. From what I understand, WWE has completed their taped shows and will return to a live format as soon as this Friday. I think that this SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken, may be an actual live show. If not, next week we'll start the true live format again. And now whether they're doing that from the Performance Center or whether they're doing that in an undisclosed location that is not closed and the mayor of Orlando hasn't decided to close every building that is not a private residence, they will find a way to do it. I believe that, you know, Vince is hell bent on continuing this. And I think he's right, because right now, more than ever, we need something to hang our hat on that distracts us. And I appreciate that. And I agree. So one way or another, WWE is going to be pumping out these shows. And so this will complete the pre-taped show format, and hopefully things return to live, which adds a little bit more of excitement to the show knowing it's live starting next week. So we got this show post-WrestleMania, and we had the recap galore as is normal and typical for the post-Mania shows. We got a lot of rematches, and well, we didn't get a lot of them. We got one big rematch that ended up being a 3-in-1 match with the Street Profits and Angel Garza and Austin Theory with Zelina Vega, who is, I always say, the damn MVP. She is always at her best. I wish she would cut a promo every week. I love hearing her talk. She is a masterpiece in a world that underappreciates what she does. And I don't mean physically. Obviously, she's a very good-looking woman. I'm talking about her skill set. I'm talking about her presence on the mic. I've sung her praises many, many times on this show. So that, you know, that is a match we got, another rematch for the Raw Tag Team titles. And, well, nobody explains why that happened. No, you know, the automatic rematch clause is antiquated, yet it happened last night with no explanation. WWE needs to get their you-know-what together with these just awarding title shots with no explanation, and to those that don't even have a win on the record, i.e., we had at the Elimination Chamber, you had Sarah Logan in the Elimination Chamber. Why? Tamina in the SmackDown Women's Elimination match at WrestleMania. Why? When's the last time she won? And then Braun Strowman getting an opportunity for the WWE Universal Championship with no explanation. None. And then we get a Raw Tag Team title rematch with the Street Profits, Austin Theory, and Angel Garza. With no explanation. None. I mean, I can just rattle these off. It just, if the guys and gals are here to fight for the championships, give us a reason how they got there, right? Because if they're apparently struggling and scratching and clawing and sweat and blood and tears are poured into the effort, well, how did they get there? Please, tell me anything. But we got this match, which, again, I mean, these two teams work very well together. They're not blow away, but I have nothing to complain about. And it ends in a DQ after we had Zelina Vega get involved. So that really cost her team the opportunity at the belts, and apparently they just were okay with it. And then it turned into a women's match between Bianca Belair and Zelina Vega, and then that broke down into a 3-on-3 tag team match. So that finally happened, and it just kept morphing and evolving into different matches. I don't think I've ever seen, if I can recall, an actual 3-in-1 non-promoted match, right? Like, you've seen the formula before of, you know, you have a one-on-one, and then two guys interfere, and then the odds are even, and then you know it's just a tag team match coming. That is the oldest formula in the history of formulas in wrestling, right? And you talk to Teddy Long, and you just picture him coming out there and making a tag team match. That's just what he did. So this I never have seen. I honestly don't know the last time I've seen a 3-for-1 matchup. I'm not complaining. The quality of all three of these matches was good, and the rivalry is good. It's fine that they're keeping these three individuals together. It's nice to see Bianca Belair get a lot of ring time, especially with her husband, with Montez Ford. They work all well together. And Austin Theory seems to be a very solid in-ring performer coming from NXT. He's got the look, certainly. Young guy, great shape, sound technician, sound fundamentally, I should say. At least that's how it appears on the main roster. I did follow a little bit in NXT, and it's pretty much what you see is what you get. So I enjoyed this match, these matches. It ended with the Street Profits and Bianca Belair getting the win, and then at the end we had Belair's music play, and she stood between Ford and Dawkins, swinging her hair incessantly, right? Just consistently swinging her hair and swinging her hair and swinging her hair. So I don't know if that's just a nervous habit or if that's just what she does, but nonetheless, it was a solid segment and one that was able to chew up a bunch of time for WWE. And I expect more down the line from all three involved, and particularly Zelina Vega and Bianca Belair, which could end up having a one-on-one competition. I mean, I would like to see that. I would like to see Zelina in an actual wrestling role. She kills the managerial role in a great way. I mean, you guys know how I feel about it. But to see her in another lens, through another lens, as a performer, I think could elevate her even further. And I would really believe, I do believe she is a future women's champion. Whether that is SmackDown or Raw, right now she's currently on Raw, but I don't see her being able to legitimately defeat Becky Lynch. Although, I would love it. I mean, I think we're all kind of over Becky being champion. And if the crowds were actually live right now, I think you would start to hear the boo birds. And after the match that her and Shayna Baszler had at WrestleMania, I mean, it wasn't the best match in the world, particularly when it's put side by side with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. It wasn't a stinker of a match, but I think the outcome may have annoyed more people than the actual quality of the match, although that doesn't help either. But I really believe that if this was in front of a live audience, and if the WWE fans were live on the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, I would have loved to have heard the reaction for Becky Lynch from that live audience. I really think it would have been a very, very different feel to Becky Lynch. And I mean, just think about that, right? You have Shayna Baszler. She is a formidable opponent for Becky. And she comes and is defeated by Becky clean. She didn't tap to Becky, which was the one out that she has. But she lost clean. And then you had Shayna Baszler say to Becky that, the agony of defeat and the thrill of victory, you'll feel my agony of defeat, basically saying that how I feel, I'm going to make you feel the agony, telling me this is not over between Becky Lynch and Shayna. I don't know if it'll translate to Money in the Bank, but certainly this is not over. And, obviously the wild card is Ronda Rousey. Where does she fit into everything, if at all? But my point is, with Becky Lynch, imagine if she had come out to that Raw crowd tonight or last night. It would have been, I really believe, a 80-20 split not in favor of Becky Lynch. So, just something to ponder as we all wonder, what if the crowd was there? I believe it would have been a hell of a reaction in the negative to Becky, because I think we're all over it. So, as far as Bianca Belair, she had a hell of a showing at the Royal Rumble. That's when she really put herself on the map. She certainly was on one of the biggest stages to do that and got eyeballs on her. And then last night, yeah, she, I think, showed herself again. She's got a presence. She's got athletic ability. Certainly, she's in phenomenal shape. She's got a good look. It's very unique. So she's got a bright future, and I think Zelina does too. And I would love to see Zelina Vega as Raw Women's Champion or SmackDown Women's Champion at some point, because she could have, I think, a truly memorable run with her voice, with her promos. She could kill it. So hopefully, my hope is that this is a slow transition from Zelina Vega, the manager, of which she's done an awesome job, to Zelina Vega, the performer, the wrestler. Excuse me, I'm speaking Vince McMahon corporate speak. To Zelina Vega, let me say this again, the wrestler. I know those are dirty words, but that's how it is. So I really believe, and I hope that's the case. So moving on, though, to the next segment that is in my brain, and that's Nia Jax's return as we're on the women's division. She ended up in a squash match, for lack of a better term, as we saw a couple of those. And it was Nia Jax against, who was it? I'm working on the name. Perrazzo. So I don't follow NXT to the point of knowing who Deonna Purrazzo is. So my bad. Okay. I don't watch NXT. That's why I have a team member who covers NXT. I simply don't have the time. But it was Nia Jax just completely squashing her. They talked about her double knee surgery, two torn ACLs or PCLs. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. One of the knee muscles. She tore both of them and had surgery. She's been out for a year. So it's nice that we have a new face on the roster. And we have a new opponent for Becky Lynch, assumingly. And Byron Saxton was just incessantly about talking about messages and putting words in wrestlers' mouths. And this one particularly, he was talking about how this is a message to the Charlotte Flairs and to the Becky Lynches of the world that Nia Jax is here. I mean, okay, thanks, Byron. Okay, thanks for the propaganda. I could have had Nia Jax tell me that, but whatever. So Nia Jax is back. It seems as if she's back as a heel, and she should be. Nia Jax is very easily dislikable. From her, and again, this is not just from her produced on-air character, but from the behind-the-scenes Twitter-verse that she's on. I'm not a fan of her, if that's her true self, on a personal level. I find her a bit obnoxious. I'm just going to leave it at that and not get into specifics. But I'm not a fan of her on Twitter. And I don't like her on-air personality as a babyface. Now, all of these things that I'm saying I dislike about her are truly compliments if you're trying to get her over as a heel. And it seems as if they were positioning her as such because Becky Lynch has no one else to work with right now. Outside of a Shayna Baszler rematch or a Ronda Rousey return, Becky Lynch doesn't have a whole lot left of the roster to go through. You could go to Bianca Belair. You could go to Zelina Vega, but the problem is with Bianca, she's positioned as a face. You can't usually don't want face versus face, although it happens. And Zelina Vega, I would stay away from at this point because I would want time for her to build as an actual wrestler in the minds of fans. So to me, Nia Jax seems on a collision course with Becky Lynch, whether it's at Money in the Bank or the pay-per-view after. I just don't know where Becky goes after this. I mean, who else does she go to? Who else is left? Kairi Sane is disinterested and disconnected from what she's doing. She's defeated Asuka 3 times in the past 2 months. We all, God knows, don't want Charlotte, and now she's the NXT champion anyway, and she's gone, thank goodness. They're not even on the same brand. What are you going to do, right? I mean, who's left? Liv Morgan? Natalya? Liv Morgan got a victory over Natalya at the pre-show on WrestleMania, and then she loses to Asuka on Raw. So I guess the end goal was Asuka, because if you have Liv Morgan win on WrestleMania, you're thinking, ooh, this could be WWE positioning Liv Morgan for something bigger. Because to get a win over Natalya in an unannounced match is significant, because you have a star that is several pegs below defeating an established veteran. So you're thinking, great, let's see what they do. And then they just fed her to Asuka. It was competitive, and they had a good match. But to me, having her lose there was just the ends to the means to an ends of getting Asuka over in a bigger way. That it seems as if Kairi Sane maybe has that team has dissolved. We didn't see her with Asuka. Doesn't mean they're not together. But since they dropped the belts, it seems as if Kairi Sane might be going by the wayside. And I don't think that that's a moment too soon for Kairi Sane, who just continues to look as about as interested as watching paint dry. She is... you don't believe me, go back and watch her at WrestleMania. I had a discussion with my co-host about this. Kairi Sane is just disconnected. And it's a shame, because I think Kairi Sane has a lot to offer. The match she had against Becky Lynch a couple of months ago on Raw was really good. We've seen her perform very well in NXT, and maybe she goes back to NXT. I don't know. But it seems as if Kairi Sane is, she's been taking the pinfalls for the team, and I think she has more to offer somewhere else right now. And it's a shame, because I think she has a lot to offer. I don't know. Maybe she has heat on her. We don't know. But my assumption is that this team has dissolved and disbanded without any announcement. It's just going to be Asuka on a weekly basis coming out and doing her thing, as she got a singles win this week over Liv Morgan, who beat Natalya. So there's what they wanted to build to, and this credit really went to Asuka. So I have no problem with that. Asuka certainly needs to get a little bit of momentum back after her just terrible losing streak as of late. So, all right, moving on to the next thing here, and I'm just going to jump to the main event, which was really not the main event. It was just a replay of what we didn't see at WrestleMania on Sunday. And that was Drew McIntyre coming back out after he beat Brock Lesnar to do an interview in the ring. And he talks about that it's been 20 minutes. Had a really good promo and ends up getting interrupted by the Big Show, of all people, who then challenges him, starts to punk him out. Drew is saying, "I just went through a match with Brock. I'm not going to fight you no matter what you say." So Big Show slaps him. And then we're on. I mean, so I didn't know that this to me, I didn't know it was an official WWE Championship match. It was never explicitly said. Which always makes you wonder, what's the point of contract signings? If you can have an impromptu WWE Championship match with just nothing more than just your words, why do you even bother with a contract signing, right? Think about that. I mean, every match, every night, unless they sign contracts before they go out in kayfabe world, why do they have to have a contract signing? I don't know. I mean, you think about it. But anyway, so Big Show actually put on his best match in probably a couple years in WWE. I mean, that's not saying a whole lot, because he hasn't been around a whole lot. But he looked better than I expected him to look. There were some very believable near falls. It actually had me somewhat maybe believing they could just fool us all, put the belt on Big Show. I know it sounds stupid and insane, but crazier things have happened, and it's the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, and it happened at WrestleMania, what they just showed us that we didn't see. So I didn't put it out of the realm of possibility. But McIntyre ends up fighting back, hits the Claymore for the three. And I was, again, pleasantly surprised by the performance of the Big Show. And it is true. He screamed that, "I've been doing this for 4 decades. That's true, folks. That's true. It's insane to think about. The Big Show has been wrestling for 4 decades, but he saves himself. He obviously is not performing on a weekly basis or even sometimes at all during the year. And so clearly he can say that and do that because he takes long periods of time off. So it was a fine match. Interesting that the main event had to be something that didn't even happen on the show. It happened the night before, but it was, I think, solid match. Claymore gets Drew over even further, and it makes you wonder where Drew McIntyre goes from here. Who's challenging him next? Is it Seth Rollins? Do they wait on Seth? Maybe it's, hell, I don't know. I was going to say Sheamus, but he's not on Raw. I mean, I don't know where they go. I mean, I have to see the roster stacked up and see side by side. Could it be a Brock rematch? No. I mean, I would just say that pretty confidently, that no, it would not be a Brock rematch, because we all know Brock goes into hibernation now for another 4 or 5 months before he pops back out for SummerSlam. So, I don't know. I don't see a clear opponent right now. I really don't. But that's okay. That's okay. I need time to just enjoy Drew as champion and take these moments in and not feel like his title's in jeopardy, and just kind of sit back and smell the roses, as they say. So, again, surprising match from the Big Show, but in a very good way in my mind. So then we got, let's see here, as I look here, a lot of replays and highlights, I should say. We had a Flair versus Ripley match highlight from WrestleMania, and then we subsequently got a backstage interview with Charlotte, where Charlie Caruso starts to congratulate Flair and then stops her mid-sentence and then she said to Charlie, "I don't need you to congratulate me," and talks about how that while growing up, her father had custom cars and robes and suits, and her father used to say that it isn't the suit that makes the man, it's the man that makes the suit, and that Charlotte said the same goes for the title she's won. This was probably Charlotte's best promo in recent memory. Maybe not ever, but certainly in recent memory, at least in, again, that's all relative, right? Because our recent memories are all different. But in my goldfish 3-second memory that I have at times, I mean, I'm telling you, my recall memory is awful. No, it's just, it's awful. So take that with a grain of salt. But I enjoyed this promo from Charlotte. Why? Because it didn't sound like she was trying to deliver a promo. It sounded like she was just talking. And she was really good here. I like her belief that it's not the title that makes the person, it's the person that makes the title. I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. I love it. It is true. That's why you don't play hot potato with a belt and try to use the belt to get somebody over. You don't do it. You use stars to make the belt feel important, and then that's how you build more stars, by having them try to earn an opportunity to compete for that championship that is now more valuable because you had stars who held it. It's just the way pro wrestling works with championships, or at least should work. So Flair also said that Rhea Ripley was all right, which was pretty funny. I thought she was going to at least give her credit. I like how she didn't, because she's a heel. Too often you see heels give credit where they shouldn't. So that was good. And she said that every woman in WWE, she does what every woman in WWE does, and that's bow to the queen and then says woo and exits. So I liked it. I liked it. I really, you know, typically the Charlotte promos are very robotic or just weirdly delivered. This was Charlotte just seemingly talking to us. So good stuff. Really good stuff. All right. Moving on to, let's see, what do I got here as I'm scrolling through my notes? We had a lot of social media dominance type of announcements, meaning WWE was talking about how it was the most social event in WWE history with 13.8 million total social media interactions on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I wonder how they measured that. I'm assuming, because this is kind of hard to make a totality view of. Did they just take every single hashtag that ever had to do with wrestling? Like hashtag WWE, hashtag WrestleMania, hashtag WrestleMania 36, hashtag Drew. I mean, I don't know how they came up with this number. I would love to figure that out. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, so they can't tout about the numbers of the people in attendance. So they have to talk about the social media. And I'm not making fun of them for it, because I would talk about this too, because social media is where it's at. WWE knows this. Social media is their live audience right now. So, you know, unfortunately they couldn't say a new record was shattered in Tampa last night with, you know, 85,000 fans in attendance. This is their record attendance. So that is quite an interesting change from years past. We got Alberto Carrillo versus Brendan Vink, where Alberto Carrillo ended up winning. Carrillo got a cover on Vink, who kicked out. Both men got back to their feet, and then it was it was over quickly after a moonsault and a cover on Vink for the three count. So, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. Carrillo continues to build a little momentum. I think the point here is you saw a lot of new faces on Raw. And a lot of new faces that didn't come with a whole lot of fanfare. And then they just didn't, right? You had Brendan Vink. Somebody. How many people, raise your hands if you've heard of Brendan Vink before, right? And then you also had, where is it? Cedric Alexander and Ricochet versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Again, you may or may not have heard of them, but my odds and my thought is that probably at least half of you listening have not heard of those people. We also had, well, Austin Theory, you guys know, but Seth Rollins going against Denzel Desjardins. Yeah. They said that he was coming from NXT, but I don't know. I don't remember that name. Honestly, I don't recall the name. So a lot of, of course the Deanna Perrazzo. So boy, a lot of, some people would call them quote no names, but if you follow NXT, you probably know who these individuals are, but you got to remember, even if you're thinking, how does he not know who these people are? The audience that watches NXT is a small fraction of those that watch the main product, right? So you can't fault people for not knowing who they are if they don't watch a niche product, which is NXT. NXT is a niche product. Niche or niche? I feel like niche is a kind of a D-bag way to say it, right? I say niche. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. It's kind of like when people say, I don't want to say potato, but there's a whole bunch of words that you can pick apart or say that is annoying to you that you hear other people pronounce it like, but I don't know. Moving on. I don't want to get too off the track here. We also had Aleister Black against Apollo Crews. Now, I don't know what they're doing with Aleister Black other than just continuing to have him win. Eventually, they're going to have to give him more mic time other than just a cool entrance. And other than just sitting in a dark room waiting for someone to pick a fight with him, I mean, he needs to do something a little bit more of substance or tell us who and what he is. Personally, I don't understand how this guy's a babyface. I don't get it. Truly. He's a guy waiting for someone. He's trying to find someone to pick a fight with him. It's not a likable trait in most human beings. So, to me, I've never looked at Aleister Black as a babyface. Never. Never, ever. I just don't know how they continue to position him as such. He represents evil. I mean, I'm not getting religious on you guys. And yeah, The Undertaker was cool, but he was cool in a different way. He didn't, you know, have demon tattoos on him and come out wearing horns and weird things like that. I mean, he was dark in his own way, in a unique or original way. I mean, Aleister Black, if you're a religious person, you're probably offended by Aleister Black. I mean, it's that outward with him. And so I don't know how you position someone like that as a babyface. I just don't get it. I've never liked him as a babyface. I love his in-ring performances, his in-ring wrestling, but I don't like his character as a babyface. It's a good dark character. He's got a great presence when he speaks. I'm not knocking who he is and what he does inside the ring. I just don't think he's cast right, at least in my eyes. But he continues to plow through his opponents. Although I will say that Apollo Crews did put on one of the best matches he's had in a while. Probably because he was given more than 3 minutes to show what he can do. So I don't think that's the fault of Apollo. I think that's the fault of creative. not giving him barely any time, and even when he comes out there. And so him and Aleister put on a better match than I expected, because I expected this to be a squash. And Aleister continues to hit the Black Mass that, I'll tell you, I know it's a work, but I would not want to take the Black Mass. I just wouldn't. I mean, I've seen him connect on more than one occasion, truly connect, and it's a scary move to take. I mean, it's a very scary move to take, and I've seen slow-mos where you can't fake it, right? You can't fake it. So Aleister continues his ascent. It was a much better match than I expected, and Aleister Black goes over. So we also had, and I know I touched on this briefly, Seth Rollins in action. And I'm surprised that we didn't get a promo from Seth. I am thinking that since it was a pre-taped show that they were just kind of running out of gas, just kind of put him in a position to get a little momentum back, but not say a whole lot because they want to confirm maybe where they want to go, and they didn't think that far out yet. So they just had not a whole lot of promo work, just a lot of get these people back on track, get some momentum with a bunch of no names. Again, I say no names loosely, I know, but I think that's the case, right? And I think we'll get more talking next week. At least that's my hope. I want a little bit of a reaction. And we didn't get a reaction either from Edge and or Randy Orton. We got some highlights, but we didn't get any follow-up to it. And maybe we don't need it because it looks like that has concluded, at least for now, and maybe Edge goes back into hiding until we get to a actual live format again. Again, we had Seth Rollins versus Denzel Dejournette. I'm probably butchering that. Dejournette. I don't know. It's French. I'm French. I should know. But anyway, we got Seth Rollins taking the victory here. But moreover than that, this wasn't about Seth getting the victory. It's important because they need to build him back up and get something behind him after the huge loss for at WrestleMania, although that was, I think, the match of the night, match of the whole pay-per-view, rather. But this, to me, was about delivering the message. Ding, 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 I said the keyword, WWE, do I get a prize? No. About sending the message that Seth Rollins is different, and that he's a different Seth Rollins. This is a different Seth Rollins than we've ever seen. That was, to me, I mean, I get the message. Message received loud and clear. I accept the message. Good. He needs to look different a little bit. Seth came out kind of in an angered trance after what happened. I guess that's the best way I can describe it, just an angry trance. Was laser focused, destroyed Denzel, hit the stomp, won. But we had Byron Saxton at the very beginning of the match, Byron Saxton said that this is a Seth Rollins that we've never seen. How? Based on what? His walk to the ring and then stomping somebody in the corner? You've never seen this version of a Seth Rollins? Really? Really? What about the vicious, vile beatdowns of Kevin Owens week after week? That wasn't vicious. That wasn't focused. That wasn't nasty. Really? How do you tell? I mean, you don't say that at the beginning of the match and based on a 20-foot walk to the ring. This is the Seth Rollins that we've never seen before. Myron, God Almighty, timing is everything. Let's wait till the end of the match to make that determination. That's a pretty hefty accusation to make based on, you know, a thumbnail of evidence. Let's hold back and wait till it's time to make that assumption to send the message. So, God Almighty, Byron. So, Byron did say, though, that maybe WrestleMania was good for Seth because a little humility is good for him. I don't think this is in any way a sign that Seth is turning back to babyface. Not a chance. This is Seth, I think, going to double down on what he stands for, and maybe bring in new members to his group, of which have been MIA lately. I'd like them to be a little more unified. His group, whatever you call it, his disciples, have really just kind of dissolved over the last few weeks, and I don't like that. His group had a lot of momentum at the beginning. Bringing in Murphy, I think, was a good call. and then they just went into oblivion. I know that there was an injury to one of the AOP members, but the other ones are fine. Bring them in. I don't know. I just didn't understand. And furthermore, why they didn't help him at WrestleMania. If it was no DQ, wouldn't you have had the non-injured, able-bodied allies to come out and help you? I don't know. Nitpicking, but at this point, Seth is, I think, on a rebuild mode, and that's fine with me. As long as he brings the circle back to his group. Because it's not just about Seth right now, it's about building other stars. And you get the rub from Seth, being associated with Seth. Even if you're a disciple of Seth, and you're just, quote, a minion, you still get the rub. So, I think right now the focus needs to be not just on Seth, but on his group. Especially when Seth inevitably wins a major title. Having him be protected by his collective disciples is going to be fun to watch. Because he's the kingpin, the mastermind, and he just can't get through that line of defense to get to him. That's what I love. That's what makes me want to see a heel get their ass whipped. So, I guess in response to this, the only one we heard from here was really Kevin Owens in terms of the follow-up from WrestleMania and Charlotte, of course. But Kevin Owens seemed to just be happy with where he was and that he finally got his WrestleMania moment and that he said he used to be a prize fighter. Maybe he'll go back to that, or maybe he'll find some other people on the roster that deserve a stunner or two. And so it looks like Kevin Owens is moving on. That was the message sent. And that was fine with me. As much as I love Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, who he said they've been feuding since November. Good Lord. It felt like Roman Reigns Corbin at times. But it was a good message to send to fans that, yeah, we're done with this. We're moving on. And we're moving on Kevin. We're moving on Seth to different opponents. So I think that's a good message to send. And it gets them away from one another on different paths. So I was a big fan of that as well. We had, again, Ricochet and Cedric Alexander get the victory over Oni and Danny. It was, I think, kind of a foregone conclusion. Putting these two together, though, it's a nice team. Cedric and Ricochet have complementary styles. They have that just the 2020 style of what a five-star match is. I don't agree. They're athletic as hell, but you guys know how I feel about what a true five-star match is. Of course, a very subjective thing, but the 2020 version is exactly what Cedric and Ricochet portray as their style in the ring. I completely disagree with that, but if anybody would like to debate me on that, I would love that, by the way. That's a challenge throw. How about this? I'm putting down an open challenge, as if I'm wearing some kind of championship, to anybody that wants to debate me on why the fast-paced style of suicide dives and, you know, 450 splashes are definitions of what a five-star match is and why you believe that truly is a five-star match to you. I'd love to, seriously, I'm not being a jerk about it. I would love to debate somebody on that because that can be a very interesting conversation. So, and by the way, if you guys want your voice on the show, all you have to do is email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com to get your voice on the show. How do you do it? Send me a voice memo from your phone. Super easy. And I'll get your question, your comment, your rant on this show. We've done it several times over the last few weeks. It's a lot of fun to hear other voices, other people chime in and what they want to say and hear and all that kind of stuff. So, well, that is my review. It was a noteworthy show. It didn't blow me away. It didn't give a lot up. It was just kind of a stepping stone to the next chapter of WWE, which the new season has officially started. Now that it's after WrestleMania, we can all move on. I would think that, you know, the big takeaways here are Nia Jax's return and Drew McIntyre retaining, and nothing. We've heard nothing from Becky. We heard nothing from Edge or Orton, and really nothing from Seth in terms of speaking. We didn't get a whole lot of follow up from certain people that I would like to have heard from. And again, it was certainly not your traditional Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania by any means at all. So it was, again, a good show. It didn't blow me out of the water, but it was worth definitely coming on as always, and talking to you guys about what my thoughts were on it as we start this lovely new chapter in WWE that hopefully becomes full of fans in attendance sooner than later. And I, God almighty, hope it's not August. I mean, I'm not making that up. That's what I heard on social media through a credible website. I'm not going to name the websites, but it's not one of, it's not Huffington Post. Okay, I'll leave it at that. It's actually a credible news source. But anyway, do your own research. I mean, maybe you'll find something else. I don't think, honestly, any of us know when we're going back to normal. It's just not something that, I don't care what kind of experts come out of what university or how long this doctor's done this or that. We've never had this before, so there's zero history to pull on. So everything right now is a guess. Every damn thing you hear is a guess. So what I do know is that it's been roughly a month since the United States has started their shutdown of basically everything. So we will have to see. And I will gladly love to bring in fans again to any sporting event. Because God almighty, I mean, we don't have baseball right now. It's killing me. No baseball. There's no NBA Finals. There's no NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. It may mess with the football season. I mean, that's true. So it could mess with every sport that we love. Alrighty, well, thank you guys for listening. And tomorrow, again, it'll be from the vault. I'll have a little bit of an intro at the beginning with any updates that come out of the wire. But it's going to be a from the vault type of show, not a normal wrestling nostalgia show. So you'll still be getting something, and then Thursday and Friday, NXT, AEW, and then back this weekend with a co-host, of which I still don't know because I've exhausted my entire co-host list. So I'll be digging out a co-host for this weekend to discuss my weekend review of WWE, and boy, there's a lot to talk about, I'm sure. After Friday Night SmackDown, or just SmackDown, or SmackDown Live, I don't know, whichever iteration you want to call, SmackDown on Friday, how about that? There will be a lot to discuss as well with the follow-up to the matches, in particular, John Cena and Bray Wyatt. For, is there anything coming of that bizarre acid trip? Does John Cena turn heel? Could that have been what finally made John snap to get that introspective look at himself? We'll have to see. Well, I, for one, would love to see it. And I think the most people would, too. I think it would put eyeballs on the product. And I think it would create a hell of a buzz to finally get the Cena heel turn. And at this point, as I've said, there is no risk. There's no risk. John Cena's done everything there is to do. John Cena, or WWE, has learned how to survive without John Cena, just as they've learned to always survive no matter how big of a star leaves. Whether it's Hogan, whether it's The Rock going to Hollywood, whether it's Stone Cold returning or retiring because of a neck injury, WWE always goes on. And so John Cena, at this point in his career, can pick and choose what he wants to do, come in and out as he chooses, and there's no risk for him being heel. There's no better time to do it because there's nothing on the line. It's not like you have to worry about it flopping and then going, oh, crap, well, he's our top guy. Yeah, what are we going to do? How do we backtrack this? It doesn't matter because he's a guy that you don't expect to be there every week. He's not the guy carrying the company on his shoulders anymore. So to me, it's playing with house money. I don't see why you don't try it. And it may catch fire. It may catch wildfire. I mean, who knows? So, alrighty. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Again, hit me up on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. You don't like the ads, you're tired of the ads, head on over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Also, if you have a moment, give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps out the show. Even if you hate us, you want to give us one star and you think that's going to hurt us or whatever, well, guess what? Joke's on you because it still helps us when you do a rating. But if you like to leave a kind rating and a 5-star, obviously that's preferable. I'm not challenging people to give us 1-star reviews, okay? That's not the purpose. But people think that they're hurting us by giving us 1-star. Wrong. So anyway, thank you guys for listening. And as always,
thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.